Good morning and welcome to this episode of the Ad Drop Podcast. We continue the move through the world of college baseball. Today, we are pleased to be joined by the head coach of the Metropolitan State University of Denver baseball team, Ryan Strang. Good morning, coach. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
Not bad, not bad. Now, when did you know that baseball would be where you would end up, like your path in life?
Probably a very early age. I mean, it was my dad played in the big leagues, and then when he got done playing the big leagues, he started managing professionally. So from the young age, really the only thing I remember is going to the ball field. When I was 7, 8, 9 years old. I would go to the ballpark with my dad and just kind of hang out and travel on the bus with him. And up in the Northwest League, he was managing in Everett, Washington. So, I knew I wanted to be a coach. My granddad was a basketball coach. My other granddad was a football coach. So I knew coaching was in my blood, but baseball-wise, I just always fell in love with it at an early age and knew when I got done playing that I wanted to coach at some point.
Now, you hit 391 in the minors. Is it something that you can teach your players with as far as plate discipline? Is it something that is just within somebody?
I think you can teach it. I mean, I think it has to be a commitment from our players, that they'll want to do that. But we talk a lot about those things. And I think, from an early age with my dad, I mean, having plate discipline, understanding the strike zone was huge. In one of his years in AAA, before he got to the big leagues, I think he struck out like 5 times in 500 at bats. So, it was pretty early on. I knew that putting the ball in play and understanding the strike zone was important, and we try to work on that with our guys. I mean, our goal is to at least be 1-1 with strikeout to walk, hit by pitch ratio, which is really, really, really good. That's hard to do. I think right now we're accomplishing that so far halfway through the season. So, I feel with our talent, if we can put the ball in play and understand the strike zone, gives us a chance to be pretty dang good and pretty offensive throughout the year.
Your Roadrunners are actually, have more walks and strikeouts. Now, when you have a, let's just say, a younger player coming in and they see how you preach this, how quick are they to be able to acclimate that into their own approach?
I think it takes a little while. I think especially with just the game that they watch on TV. If you watch big league games, obviously the strikeouts are really high. We've kind of gone away from that a little bit at that level. And so, sometimes it takes a little while to teach them and talk to them about that. To try to make that part of their game because they see it on TV. That's maybe not as big of a deal and not as big of an emphasis. But I think in the college level, we're not playing with guys that are in the big leagues. We're playing with good players, but maybe not, guys that hopefully have a chance to get to professional baseball. But it's different. We need to put balls in play and put pressure on teams. And also, the defenders aren't big leaguers either. So, if we can do those things, it gives us an advantage, but it definitely takes some time. Our guys need to commit it to it. And I think, there's some physical things that we do and we talk about, but I think more than anything, it's just a mental approach and having a game plan and committing to the fact that we're going to compete up there with two strikes and make sure we put balls in play. And I'm always preaching to them that, we're trying to make the other team, make 27 outs. We don't want to give them any outs. We want them all 27 outs to have to field the baseball, catch it, throw it, and somebody else catch it as well. So if we can do those things, usually it gives us an advantage. Hopefully, we're putting pressure on the other teams.
With the move towards a lot of teams embrace analytics and you being a player, do you still rely on the eye test and gut feeling, or do you kind of have a balance of what you see and what the stats say?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, definitely the eye test and seeing what you're seeing out there, but just with all the different kind of information that we can get now. I mean, obviously in the big league level and the professional level, at the Division I level, they have a lot of analytical stuff and they can afford a lot of the different programs that help with that. We have some of those that definitely help us. It's something that we analyze with my coaching staff and I look at stats, weekly. I also look on, our splits. How guys are doing against certain pitchers, right-handed, left-handed, breaking balls, swing and miss, with the breaking ball and some of those things. So we can work with those guys to try to give them, an idea of when they're successful, maybe where we're struggling at a little bit. And, how do we minimize those so we can, maximize our potential at, hitting pitches, that are in our hot zones and trying to lay off pitches that are, places that we may struggle at sometimes.
Can hitting be taught as far as taking someone at a various level that not maybe at the college level, but like just say local ball and teaching them how to be a competent or even good hitter?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think you can always teach hitting. I know, you know, I kind of joke with one of my new coaches who came in who spent his 30-year career at the high school level, you know, and he kind of thought that it was difficult to teach hitters whether they can hit, you know, if they have it or they can't hit, you know, but he's, you know, spent some time around here and just seeing that, yeah, you got to get talented guys. When we go out and recruit, we want to recruit guys that have put up numbers, especially at our program. We have a lot of guys that will transfer. So, you know, we have a little bit of better idea of what they can do, you know, before they get here. But I think when you get here and you work and you put a plan together and you work with those guys, I think you can make hitters better. And, you know, you're not going to be able to take, you know, necessarily a bad hitter or a great hitter, but, you know, if they're a solid hitter that can work on some of the things, I think we all have a chance to make our hitters better. And by the time they get here, and I tell them this all the time that, you know, when we start in the fall, our goal is to be a better hitter by the time the end of the fall gets there. And then they work over the winter. And when they get here, they're a better hitter. And we just continue to get better throughout the time, because even big leaguers get better throughout their career. And we can't just be satisfied where we're at. We got to continue to work and keep getting better and keep working as a program to make our hitters as best as they possibly can be.
Now, you earned your undergrad from Nevada and your master's at Nebraska. If you compare the at two different times in your life, mm-hmm. how have you managed to implement the educational aspect with the athletic aspect when, as far as coaching your players?
Yeah, you know, I mean, my undergrad, I was very fortunate. You know, when I went to Nevada, I got to play for some really good coaches. Gary Powers was our head coach, a longtime head coach at the University of Nevada. The two assistants when I was there, Stan Stolte was our pitching coach. He's now the head coach at UNLV. And then Jay Ullman was our hitting coach, and he, you know, was the head coach at Tulane. So, you know, I was very fortunate to play for some really good coaches. You know, Gary has retired since then, but those other two guys are active and doing great jobs at the programs that they're at. So, to get the knowledge from those guys and understanding, you know, how we were playing. And I was very fortunate to play with a lot of really good players. I mean, we had a lot of big leaguers on my teams at Nevada. And then after I got a chance to play pro ball, I got to work for Mike Anderson, who's the head coach in Nebraska. It was right after they went to the World Series in 2005. So I was with them in the fall of 05 and in the spring seasons in 06 and 07. And, just to learn from those guys and understand, you know, what it took to be a great coach. And then, you know, the education part, I got my master's in sports administration. So I think a lot of those things, just leadership styles that I learned through those classes and how I try to generate my program and my plan of how we build these things, I think comes from all those guys, you know, not just my coaches, but the professors that helped me put a game plan together. And when you're trying to build a program, it's such so much more than just recruiting. And I think I learned that really quickly when I became a head coach, that it's a lot different than being an assistant coach. You know, assistant coach, I was working with the hitters, infielders, you know, recruiting. As a head coach, there's a lot more that goes into that. And that's when I was able to tap in a little bit more to the information that I got from those guys, because they'd all been head coaches at some point and gave me some advice on how to build my program.
When you were winding down your career as a player and decision to go into coaching, was it an agonized decision to kind of hang up the spikes as a player, or did you just want to just, you were good with your career as a player and kind of wanted to take the next step?
Yeah, it was hard. I mean, I think it's hard for everybody when they have to decide whether you decide that you're done playing or somebody else decides that you're done playing. You know, I mean, for me, you know, I was banged up, had an arm injury in college and kind of played through it in my pro ball. And it just kind of got to the point where it was really difficult for me to do the things that I wanted to do. I like to think that I could have played a little bit longer, but, you know, I just wasn't at a point where I could really play any longer. I mean, I remember talking with my dad and, you know, I was getting to that point where I was on the disabled list and independent ball. It's after I had been released from affiliated ball. And, you know, I never quit anything in my life. And I was talking to him. I said, I have a hard time quitting and hanging him up. I don't think I can play at the level that I need to be able to play. You know, when we were talking about it, I said, Ryan, when you get to this point, you're not, you know, you're not quitting. You know, it's just, it gets to that point that it happens to everybody. And, you know, I took some time, tried to figure out, you know, what the best decision was for me and ended up giving it up. And, you know, was fortunate to call some coaches that either I had coached or, I mean, excuse me, I'd played for or had recruited me. And Mike Anderson recruited me when he was an assistant in Nebraska, and he gave me an opportunity to go coach. And so I felt like it was a good transition for me. I think it would have been really difficult to hang him up and just be away from the game. I know some guys take a little bit of a break and some guys never come back. But for me, I just love the game. I love being around it. And so it made it a little bit easier when I made my decision that I was done playing, but I was going to be able to hop right into coaching. And even though it's a different feeling, it still gives you that competitive vibe. And I feel like every day when I wake up, I've got a challenge for me. And I'm very thankful that, you know, I've been able to stay in baseball this long.
You ever, like, catch yourself every now and then tending to miss being at the plate yourself and kind of taking those swings.
Yeah, no doubt. That's, if everybody asks me what's one thing you miss, I miss hitting. You know, I mean, there's nothing like, you know, going out and taking BP. I mean, my favorite part of the day, you know, like pregame BP. I love BP. I love just the pregame and what it is in baseball and just being out in the park, the music playing. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I joke about it. People ask me to play softball or go play, you know, men's league baseball. And I said, I told myself when I was done, it was not going to get any better than that day. So I'm not going to go out and embarrass myself, but I'm asked constantly, you know, I got my kids now, you know, their friends, parents that play and I'm like, it's over. But every once in a while, I don't mind stepping in there and taking a few swings every once in a while, but it's, I'm 42 now and I'm realizing really quickly that my skills are diminishing, you know, very fast.
What is it about the game, just outside of the just that camaraderie, just the game itself, that makes it so hard for so many people to be able to walk away and not coach it when they retire as players?
Yeah, I mean, it just grabs you, you know. I mean, I think for me, you know, like I mentioned earlier, I mean, just being around it so much when I was young, like I have a hunger for competition. I have a hunger for each day. You don't know what's going to happen, good or bad. You know, there's really no other feeling I've been able to find, you know, in my life where, you know, that feeling that you get when you get a big win, you know, and also the agony of losses, you know, when you're losing, you have a tough loss and, you know, it just makes you feel alive. And I think that's for a lot of people that stay in the game, whether, you know, they coach at the college level, they coach in high school, they coach travel teams, maybe they coach in pro ball, is they just love the game. And I think that's a special thing about baseball coaches. It's a fraternity of people that maybe aren't paid great for doing their job. And there's a lot of guys that coach baseball that, you know, they're not paid very well. I mean, my first few years, I mean, I had to grind it out, you know, to get to a point where you could be a head coach. And, you know, for a lot of people, you're not going to get rich doing this, but that just shows how much people love this game and are willing to coach it and want to help young people, no matter what they're being paid for the job.
What was your aha moment as a coach? We look back and say, you know what? When you first started coaching, I can do this, and this is where I'm meant to be.
I think it was my, you know, first year when I got to the University of Northern Colorado. So I was at Nebraska for 2 years. My first paid job, real paid job, was at University of Northern Colorado, and they just moved from Division Two to Division One. You know, and we were coaching, and I remember in the fall, you know, I'm coaching the hitters, and, you know, when you're a young assistant, you always have all these ideas. I'd do this if I was this, and you thought, you know, my coach didn't know anything. I know better, you know, and my 2 years in Nebraska, I just kind of helped, but, you know, I wasn't really in charge of the hitters. And I remember one time in the fall, we were working with some guys and one of it clicked for one of our guys that had really struggled the year before, with some of the things we were doing with him. And, you know, after going through the process and watching him throughout the fall, make some changes, you know, you start to think, maybe I can do this, you know, maybe I can help these hitters. And, you know, that year bouncing into Division One, we were playing a lot of really good teams, and we opened up the year, we were at Texas A&M, and we ended up beating them twice in a doubleheader. I think they were ranked in the top 10. And, you know, that was the first time, like, maybe we can do this. Maybe I can coach and maybe I can help these guys. And, you know, it just feeds that hunger that you want a chance to be as successful as you can be personally. But more importantly, it's how you help these kids. You know, I think that's a cliche sometimes, but it really is. I mean, that's your job, is to try to help these kids have the best career they can. And I was very thankful for what coaches did for me. And you want to try to give that back to the players that you coach.
Exactly. When we come back from break, I want to dive into the Roadrunner season and kind of highlight a couple of players and kind of get your vibe on the team as a whole. But that's after we take this break. You're listening to the Ad Drop Podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with Ad Drop Podcast. Terrence Biggs, head coach of Metropolitan State University of Denver, Ryan Strength coach. When we look at this team, there are a bunch of players that we can get into. One that kind of stands out is Taylor Garner. Just what is it about the ability to start so well, so fast and so quickly, especially as a hitter, and keep that consistency throughout the season?
Yeah, I mean, it takes a special player. I mean, the one thing about Tanner is I would say anybody asks me about him is just how hard he plays. You know, I joke with them a little bit that I got to try to pull the reins back a little bit, but I wish I would do that with all 43 of my players. You know, I'd rather do that than trying to push him. But, you know, Xander's going to take it right up to the line. I mean, he plays with a great passion, great energy. He wants to win. I mean, he truly cares about the team winning more than his own success. And I think when you do that, you know, it clears your mind and allows you just to play for the team. And I keep telling this to our guys, and you preach it and you hear it from a lot of different coaches, that, you know, if you play for the team, good things are going to happen for you stats wise in the end. But if you're playing for yourself and you're selfish, then, you know, and you're only worried about yourself, it's going to hurt the team, but it's also going to hurt you. But, you know, one of the things with Tanner is I think, you know, he's played in some good programs. He's played in this league for a while. He understands what he needs to do. And he's also dealt with some injury. I mean, he missed all of, you know, two falls ago, he missed the whole fall coming back from an arm injury. This past fall, he had another, you know, minor surgery as well. So I think he got a clearer picture of what he needs to do. He could sit back and watch, you know, our team play. He watched the coaches work. And I think that helped him, you know, take a little bit of a break, but, you know, he plays really hard. And I think that's his number one, you know, attribute is that he's out there to win every single day and he's getting rewarded for the effort that he puts out there.
Is there any player right now in the RMAC that is on fire more than Jake Hoyton as far as having, I think, 16 RBI in the last five games?
No, he's swinging it pretty good. You know, I was joking with our SID the other day when he was asking me about the game. And I said, you know, he actually had one swing where he popped, kind of chased a pitch and he popped up a weak pop up to first base. And the guys were giving him some crap in the dugout because every single ball he had hit for, I mean, it seemed like for the last 20, 30 at bats was on a nose. I mean, even when he got out, his outs were loud. But he's seeing the ball really good. He's got a real simple swing that allows him to make solid contact consistently and put balls in play. And he's just playing with a lot of confidence. And we're fortunate that he's on our team right now for sure.
What does it say to you have a pitcher like Jack Swieminski where in a game against Colorado Mesa, he struggled a little bit, but then he was able to come back versus Colorado Springs and been able to kind of knuckle down and kind of tighten up what he had to fix. What does that say to his mental toughness?
Yeah, Jack's done a tremendous job for us. I mean, it was a good recruit from us. I mean, he went to Grand Canyon out of high school, pitched a little bit at the Division I level, was a shortstop when he went there as well. So I think that helps him too. He's a position player background, has some toughness, and he went to Scottsdale Community College and then came to us. And I think the thing that he's had to handle, especially even in the Mesa game, is he was rolling pretty good for three innings. He was dominating, and then you know, strike zone changed on him a little bit and he kind of tried to do too much and got behind in counts and gave those guys opportunity, especially good hitters, to hit in good counts. And so, you know, got away from him a little bit in that game. And then he was able to bounce back the next week and throw the ball really well that, you know, he understood that he can't, you know, overthrow, you know, he just needs to go back to pitching and commit to that. And when he overthrows and tries to do too much, that's when he, you know, gets himself in trouble. And he was able to do that against them. And most of this year that he's been able to do that. I mean, I think last year at Scottsdale Community College, he had like 68 strikeouts to like six walks. You know, he just fills up the strike zone. And so when he starts to walk people and get behind counts, that's not him. He's just got to take a deep breath, get himself back, you know, focused up and filling up the strike zone, because he's going to get a lot of ground balls. He's going to get a lot of weak contact, and we play pretty good defense. And so when we do those things, you know, he's got a chance to be really successful for us.
You have a player in Cam Uron where he went 0-for-10 versus the start of a four-game series versus Colorado Mesa. But yet, since that point, he's had a hit in every single game. When you see a player just a sophomore being able to bounce back, what's his ever like? Do you see his ceiling growing even more, even though he has so much more baseball ahead of him?
Yeah, I mean, Cam's a special talent. You know, I mean, he's, you know, a really good player for us. I mean, he really has never stopped hitting since he got here. You know, last fall, two falls ago, he led us in hitting. And then last year, he had a great year. And then this year, he had a really good fall. And then, you know, he's had a great year this year. But you're right. I mean, he was swinging the bat pretty well. He just struggled in those three games at Colorado Mesa. I think they did a good job pitching him. He just couldn't get things going a little bit. But, you know, Cam's a tough kid. He believes in himself. I think it helps with the teammates around him. Kept talking to him, kept telling him, hey, you're going to be all right. Keep swinging. Just try to get a good pitch and hit the ball hard somewhere. Matt Malkin, who helps me with the hitters, one of our assistants, did a really good job talking with him. One of the things he was doing is during BP was having him take pitches just to kind of keep his balance better. He was kind of flying open a little bit, chasing some pitches, getting out over his front leg. And so I think those drills helped him, you know, throughout a weekend. I mean, that's tough to do when you're on the road. You don't get a lot of cage work and stuff like that, but he actually, you know, took pitches just to try to get his balance better and get his, you know, his head lined up with the middle of his body better. And it really helped him that last game. He came out, hit two home runs, and Got a bunch of hits since then and has had some really good days. I mean, he's a force for us in the lineup, but, I think it's just maturing as a hitter. He's only a sophomore, but him learning, what that took and maybe making a little bit of adjustment on the fly in the middle of a weekend was really impressive to see a sophomore kid do that. And, one of my assistants doing a good job of finding that and finding out what a good plan was for him to get him back on track for us.
When you're not recruiting, when you're not on the field or in the office, how do you get away from the game?
That's hard for me. Anybody that says that to me, says you need to get away from the game more often, especially my wife and my athletic director. He's telling me that all the time, and my dad. And that's the nice part is my dad's here with me coaching, with his experience managing pro ball or being a scout, all those things, helps me try to ground me. But, it's my kids without a doubt. I love being around my kids. I got a 11-year-old daughter. My boys are 8 and 6. They're about 19 months apart. They beat on each other constantly, but they love coming out to the ballpark. But my favorite thing to do is to go see them play. I love to go sit and I sit way down in the corner. I think half the parents think I don't like them, which is really not the case. I just like being out there by myself and getting away. And, I really don't react to them. I mean, I want them to do well, but I'm not, putting any pressure on them. I love seeing them play. I love watching them be happy, and I tell them every time I'm proud of them after the game. And obviously we talk about things. I try to work with them, but I want it to be fun. I mean, this game's going to get hard enough, fast enough once they get older. And, the way that the world's moving in baseball with, travel teams and stuff starting so young now these days, you kind of lose that fun, in some places. And so I'm trying to keep that with my kids, but I love doing that. And I love to play golf. I'm going to get out there. It doesn't happen very often in the spring, really even in the summer when I'm recruiting, but in the fall, I love to do that. But, I love just spending time with my kids and my wife. My wife's a professor here on campus, which is awesome. So she's right here. We can go get lunch during the days and just kind of talk about other things, but it's a challenge for me for sure. I mean, I'm 100% committed to this thing, and I wear the losses on my sleeve sometimes, and it's tough, but I'm very fortunate to have a good support staff of my family around me. And I'm just very fortunate to have my wife and my kids that I can go hang out with and kind of get away from it when I need to.
When you and the family are out to dinner, what's your favorite place to eat and what's on your plate?
I love Mexican food. I mean, I don't know if you've been to Colorado very often, but it's the green chili here is unique with Colorado Mexican food. But when I was at Southern Illinois, my last stop as an assistant coach, obviously they got some Mexican food down there, but just not the same. So when I came back, that was one of the best things. But when we go out, I love eating Mexican food. Usually it's some combination of a burrito and a chilreano that's fried with some green chili on it. The hotter, the better is usually good. So we're fortunate to have a lot of really good places, in the Denver area and in Colorado that has great Mexican food. So That's my pick. If I could pick anyone, I would much rather have, a Mexican food with some margaritas than go to a steakhouse any day.
Head coach of the Metropolitan State University of Denver, Ryan Strain, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the AdDrop Podcast.
You bet. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.